Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section. This is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you Psalm Mem, Tehillah 40. Psalm 40 is a split right down the middle. Following verse 1, the inscription, Lamnatzeach leDavid Mizmor, for the maestro by David a psalm, is a personal song of thanksgiving, such as, thank you God for getting me out of this terrible mess, which continues on right through verse 10. However, starting from verse 12 through the end of the psalm, we have an individual's lament to God, that is, a person who is in terrible trouble. And verse 11 is the pivot verse between those two sections. And while in verse 11 he is still thanking God, he is hinting that there are troubles to come, as we will see. Now, most laments contain a certain small note of thanks. Thanks that God has saved before and will save again. And the lamenter very often says that he'll give thanks when he is in fact saved. And vice versa, most thanksgivings contain a note of lament, as the thanking person recalls the troubles that he is now thanking God for saving him from. But only occasionally do we have such a split psalm where it's difficult to tell if it's a thank you, which spends a lot of ink on former sorrows, or if it's a lament, a sorrowful lament that spends a lot of time on thanking God for his previous salvations. I think it's the latter. That is, it's a lament. It's a petition to God to help from sorrow and from suffering, mostly because the psalm begins with thanks, but it really ends off with lament, as we shall see. In addition, the troubles really get a very strong last word in the final verse. Additionally, as I mentioned, in verse 11, which is the pivot verse, while he's still thanking God, there is a shadow of trouble bubbling up, which I think defines the nature of the psalm. So, if we take a look at the psalm in its entirety, we have these two sections, first the thanksgiving, and then the lament. And what's really interesting and really poetically beautiful is that the author uses a series of words that exist on both sides of this seesaw, so to speak. And I'll point them out, these words, which he uses to contrast the one side of the psalm with the other side of the psalm. I'll point them out as we encounter them. Two points of interest. First, the lament half of the psalm was actually taken out at a later time and turned into a simpler, shorter, standalone lament, which we can find in Psalm 70. At your leisure, you can compare the two, the second half of this psalm with Psalm 70, and you'll see that they're essentially the same with a few minor alterations. Additionally, we have this very nice idea in our psalm, which is that there is a different way to thank God other than giving animal sacrifices, and we'll explore that idea as we get there. And now for the thanksgiving. Kavo kiviti Adonai vayete lai vayishma shavati. I put my hope in the Lord, and he turned toward me. He heard my lament. Note that we, not God, are the audience. That is, David is speaking directly to us. This will change in a bit as the singer, as the psalmist, gets to the actual words of thanks. But for now, he's essentially telling us what the impetus was for his writing of thanksgiving. Vayaleni mibor sha'on mitita yaven vayakem alsela raglai konein ashurai. And he lifted me out of the torrential well, sha'on mibor sha'on, and from the quicksand like mud, mitita yaven. Now, I'm translating sha'on from the word torrential, like torrential waters, as per Ibn Ezra, rather from the word sho'ah, which means destruction or desolation. I like the image of the waters rising in the well, threatening to swallow their victim who's in it. The shorish yaven is extremely uncommon, but based on its context here, and on Psalm 69, verse 3, the sense is something that allows the feet no purchase, something that drags one under. And getting back to the verse, Vayakem al sela raglai konein asherai, and he set up my feet on a rock, making firm my steps. Vayitein b'fi shir chadash tila leloheinu, yiru rabim v'yirau v'yivtechu ba'donai, and he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn to our God. Let many see it and be in awe. Let them put their faith in the Lord. Note the play on yiru, to see, and yirau, to fear. That is, once they see the words that come out of my mouth, or hear, see me praying or singing this Thanksgiving, and hear the words of Thanksgiving, they will be in awe of God. The psalmist goes on to explore the importance of putting one's faith in God, and then following that will be the actual song as he turns and speaks directly to God. Ashrei ha-gever asher sam Adonai miftacho v'lo fana el rehavim v'satei chazav. Happy or blessed is the man who puts his faith in God, who doesn't turn away towards the arrogant or to those who follow lies. Satei chazav. The sense is, instead of turning to humans for the solution to problems, for salvation, the goal is the blessed person, the wealthy person, the person who will really benefit is the one who places his trust in God. The idea is that humans offer a false or fleeting source or hope for salvation. And this is a recurring theme in Psalms, such as in Psalm 146, Kuf Mem Vav, which we say in daily, in what we call Psukei Dezimra, in our morning prayers. Some interpret Rahavim and Satei Chazav as false gods. But I think the sense here is not that it's good to put one's faith in God versus idolatry, but it's really God versus human hubris, which is the issue. And now a very long and strangely structured verse. Rabot asita ata Adonai Elohai nifloteha umach shivotecha elenu in aroch elecha agida v'adabera atzimu misaper. You have done many things, O Lord my God. Your miracles and your devices you have given us. No one can count them up, or perhaps no one can match you in this, in all those wonderful things. Let me speak of them, agida v'adabera, let me tell of them. They are too many to relate. And now we come to a theme that appears now and again in Tanakh, which is that God doesn't want our sacrifices if they come from people who don't listen to his instructions, or if they come from people who think that they can get away with an easy forgiveness, all they have to do is slaughter a few animals, or if they come from people who are mean to other people, who are dishonest and disrespect or treat badly other people. A most famous case was when Shaul, King Shaul, Saul, sacrifices animals, which he won by fighting the Amalek nation. And Shmuel says, that tells him that essentially listening to God is more important than sacrifices. There Shmuel teaches, loosely translated, it says, you think God wants sacrifices as much as he wants people to listen to him? Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't want sacrifices. That just means that there are things which are more important, more essential, and simply prerequisite. Let's continue on with the psalm. Zevach u'mincha lo chafatzta, uznayim karita li, ola v'chata'a lo sha'alta. You desire neither meat nor grain sacrifices. Rather, you opened up ears for me. You asked neither for burnt offerings nor sin offerings. That middle part, you opened your ears for me, seems to be what God did want, that the psalmist open up his own ears here with God's help, and he's thanking God for helping him open up his ears, so that he could follow God's desires, which is similar to what Shmuel was telling Saul, better to listen than to give the sacrifices, or better a person who listens than someone who doesn't listen and then give sacrifices. Perhaps the sense of opening ears is that God opened up the ears of the other people who were listening to this song of salvation, and which the psalmist wrote, instead of giving a sacrifice. Or perhaps God opened up his own ears, so to speak, to hear the thanksgiving or the petition of the psalmist. But either way, as amarti hine vati b'megilat sefer katuv alai. So then I said, that is, instead of giving sacrifices, behold, I have come with a scroll book written on me. Now, it's tempting to think that he's referring to coming to the temple with tefillin on, but I think the sense is that he poured himself and his thanks into this new song, and that he comes with it to the temple in order to sing it to this mass audience, that everyone will know what God has done, and they will fear him and put their faith in him, as he described in verse 4. La'asot ritzoncha Elohai chafatzdi v'toratecha b'toch me'ai. All I want to do is your will, my God, and to
put your Torah, your instruction in my belly. Perhaps today we might use the phrase, I want to internalize. All I want to do is internalize your Torah. Visarti tzedek pekahal rav, yinei sfatai lo echla, Adonai ata yadata. I spoke of righteousness, i.e. your righteousness, the way you rightly saved me. I spoke my thanks in a mass gathering. Behold, I did not withhold it. Literally, I did not cage up my lips. O Lord, you know this. And now we can sense the nervousness which lurks behind a request that God recognize that the psalmist did in the past do the right thing. And in fact, he did it in public. More of this in the next verse. Note the word echla, which comes from the Hebrew kelek, kuf, kaf, lamed, aleph, jail, which we will see shows up in the next verse after the pivot verse as we switch into the lament. But first, the pivot verse. Tzidkatecha lo chisiti b'toch libi, emunatecha utshuatecha amarti lo chichadeti chastecha v'amitecha l'kaal rav. Your righteousness I did not cover up in my heart, i.e. I did not keep it to myself. Your faithfulness and your salvation, I spoke of it. I did not withhold the telling of your generousness and of your truth before a large congregation or before a mass audience. And therefore, coming to the lament, Ata Adonai lo tichla rachamecha mimeni chastecha v'amitecha tamid yitzuruni. You, O Lord, don't withhold. Again, notice that word kele, to jail. Don't withhold. So I didn't withhold your prayers, so you don't withhold your mercy from me. Let your kindness and your truth, the ones that I spoke about in my thanksgiving a few verses ago, always protect me. As you can see, the psalmist is now clearly in trouble, and he is now petitioning God to save him. Ki afafu alai ra'ot sarein mispar, hisiguni avonotai v'lo yacholti lir'ot atzmu misa'arot roshi, Vilibi azavani. Indeed, troubles without number have surrounded me. My sins have caught up with me, and I can't see. There are more numerous than the hairs on my head, and my heart, i.e. my courage, fails me. Note the word mispar and atzmu, which matches the uncountable goodness that the psalmist attempted to enumerate in his new song in verse 6 above. The author highlights this link to show that God, to show God, essentially to beseech God and to demonstrate to God that regardless of his many sins, his behavior in aggrandizing God and his many ways should compensate and should be a justification for his salvation. Note the word afafu, to surround, is also a sense of afafu mayim ad nafesh, the waters come up to my nose, a sense of drowning, which matches the original verse where we started, that God had previously saved our psalmist from drowning. Ritzei Adonai lahatzileni, Adonai leezrati chusha. O Lord, desire to rescue me. O Lord, hurry to my aid. Note the unusual command, ritzei, that God should want to or will to rescue him. This matches the ritzon, the will, in verse 9, where the psalmist said, La'asot ritzoncha lohai chafasti, all I wanted to do is your will. So the psalmist is petitioning for a positive and equal response from God. I wanted to do your will, now let you have the will to save me. And now, as in most laments, we meet the enemy, the one who surrounds the psalmist with the evil, with the troubles. And as in most laments, our psalmist prays that the ill will that they wish on him will boomerang right back on them. Yevoshu v'yachbru yachad mevakshei nafshi lispota yisogu achor v'yikalemu chafetzei ra'ati. Let those who seek to destroy me all be ashamed and embarrassed. Let those who desire ill for me recoil backwards and be humiliated. Note the word chafetzei, their ill desires, is contrasted with his own good desires in verse 9. And notice that God also had the desires, the chafetz, for his thanksgiving song rather than the sacrifices in verse 7. Yashomu al ekev boshtam ha'omerim li hach hach. Let those who say ha ha to me become desolate on the heels of, i.e. due to their shame. Note the words hach hach especially with the guttural het sound of the Sephardi pronunciation, sounds essentially exactly like what it is. It's a laughter of derision derision and spite, like ha ha. Now, continuing this, the contrast between the lament half and the thanksgiving half, whose purpose is to allow the lamenter to show God that every bit of bad should be counteracted by every bit of the public good and the thanks that he gave in part one. So I'd love to compare and make a link between their derisive speaking, ha'omerim, against the wonderful speaking in verse 8, as amarti hine vati, and in verse 11, emunatcha utshuatcha amarti. And there may indeed be that contrast and link, just as we've seen with many other words which are contrasted between the lament half, the second half, and the thanksgiving half, the first half. However, amar, to speak or to say, is a very common word, so it's hard to really prove that there's an intentional contrast. And now, the psalmist hopes that the masses who search for God, in contrast for those who search, levakesh, to destroy him, will be able to sing God's praises. And it's really unusual in an individual lament to move off of one's individual focus to a communal one. But perhaps the individual here, the psalmist, David, is trying to remind God of the way he used to thank God in the masses, as I've said he's been doing by linking all these words between the two halves of the Psalms. And therefore, he would like to continue saying his new songs in public to the masses, and he wants to continue affecting them positively as he was able to do in the past. And therefore, he wants them to be able to give public praise, and he wants to be able to do it and help bring them to fear and love God as well, and as he did before. Yasisu v'yismechu b'cha kol mevakshecha yomru tamid yigdal Adonai ohavei teshuatecha. Let all those who search you out and be joyous and happy. Let those who love your salvation always say, or always be able to say, God is great, Yigdal Adonai. But right now, V'ani ani v'evyon Adonai yachashov li, ezrati umefalti ata Elohai al te'achar. But I am poor and afflicted. My Lord, consider or plan or make devices for my sake, i.e. to help me. Note the word chashav here, yachashov, matches God's positive devices or plans for his faithful, which the author extolled in verse 6. But returning to our verse, you are my help and my rescuer. My God, don't delay. So it ends off on a desperate note. And there is a hint that the psalmist recognizes that he's suffering because of his sins, which he stated in verse 13. But he hopes that the countless sins which surround him and blind him should be balanced off by the countless thanks that he sang once upon a time and sang publicly in better times. And based on that, God should allow him to rejoice and to sing a new song and to affect the masses positively one more time.